This episode of the Mixing Music Podcast has been brought to you by iZotope. I love iZotope plugins and use them on every single mix and master. So go to iZotope.com/mmpodcast to get 10% off your next order if you use the code MMPOD10. One more time, that's iZotope.com/mmpodcast and the code is MMPOD10. Happy mixing, my friends.
One, two, three.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and today we have an episode that I think some of y'all will hate, some of y'all may enjoy. This is an important episode because I want to talk about some truths and the reality of having a career in audio. Now, I want to emphasize there's a difference. We need to talk about the why you do music, okay? Are you doing music and listening to this podcast, learning, practicing to have a career in audio, right? That is one reason why you do all this stuff. Another reason, which is not dishonorable in any sense of the fact, is to have a cool hobby, you know, like it is cool, it is fun, or to just have a really aesthetic studio. Maybe you want to have a studio in your home or in an office just to have a place that maybe that's your thing. Some people are really into cars. Some people are really into video games. I recently started getting into like mechanical keyboards and I just bought a new mechanical keyboard. Whatever. Some people are into like bow and arrow. I don't know. And some people are into music, creating music. If that's you, then what I'm about to say is not really relevant because what you need to purchase, what you need to have, the equipment you need to use, the software that you need to use varies differently if your purpose is to make a career versus to be a hobbyist and maybe a really cool hobbyist on top of that. So the first thing that I want to talk about is what I've been getting a lot of texts about recently, DMs on Instagram. First off, you can find me at DK Mixes. Always feel free to hit me up with questions. I'm a little slow to answer because I just get a lot of them. But I'll get back to them ASAP. But I've been getting a lot of DMs about plugins. So I want to talk about a couple different concepts. One, the question that I get a lot is what plugins are the most professional and will help my mix the most? And my answer will always be the same. None of them. None of the plugins that you use, none of the third-party plugins that you use will help you improve your mix if you don't have the ear for it. You must have the ear for it, okay? Because if I'm hearing something wrong with the mid-range, then I could do that with a stock plugin, right? And you could do that with a stock plugin too. But the problem is that we start to think that it's the tools that we use. And as Lou always says, it is a poor workman that blames his tools. It is never the plugins that you use. Use your stock plugins. They are the most underrated plugins in your arsenal, I promise you. Especially if, like, I can't think of a DAW. Okay, no, the Reaper has pretty mediocre plugins just because of the interface. The interface is not there most of the time. Fruity Loops has mediocre plugins. There's no gain reduction meters on the compressor, okay? But in general, if you work in Studio One, Logic, Ableton, Pro Tools, most other DAWs, you're fine. You're fine. The stock plugins are the most underrated tools in your arsenal for sure. And more importantly, again, emphasizing if your goal is to make a career in music, you have to stop being a consumer. You must stop being a consumer because you are now a producer. Okay? Does that make sense? And a producer does not consume, right? Well, they have to in order to produce more quality content sometimes. But I would say that most cases for people DMing me, assuming that you have a computer that works, an interface of some kind, which, by the way, converters and how converters sound better, BS, first off. Yes, some converters sound better. That's a fact. That's true. And you can upgrade to those converters. Do you need better converters to make money and to run a business? Abso-frickin-lutely not, okay? Absolutely not. The difference of a Behringer converter versus like a Lynx Hilo, it's valid and you can hear it, but the difference does not make you money. What makes you money is your ear. Because if your mix is even close to begin with, what a Lynx Hilo does, for example, is makes your mix that already sounds good sound better. But if your mix doesn't sound good, it's not going to all of a sudden clean it up and make it sound better. That doesn't make any sense. That's not how that works. So your converters don't matter. The preamps really, unless it's noise, like noise matters. Like if it's really hissy, that kind of matters, right? So I know a lot of people that use SM7Bs and they just have a lot of noise. That most of the time, that noise doesn't matter because you can hide it in the background. Like because especially if there's a track. And a lot of times that hiss, that comes in like the noise floor, oftentimes it's kind of gives a record a vibe. It makes it sound like a vinyl record. So not a terrible thing. I will say that through the DMs that I've been getting, there's a lot of concern about the tools. And we've talked a lot in the past about gear. And we've had many episodes about talking about gear, and I'm sure we'll have many more. But the point of all this is to remind you of your purpose, okay? If your purpose is to make a career, then what you need to do is absolutely minimize expenses and increase income, right? If you're a hobbyist, if you're an enthusiast, if you're a hi-fi freak, whatever it is, if you just like making records for fun and don't really care about making money from it, then go for the gear, go for the aesthetics, spend your money on it. But if you're serious, what you should do, instead of buying that $1,000 compressor or preamp, you should spend $1,000 taking people out to lunch, spending money on Google AdWords, going to live shows, paying for tickets and going to live shows. These are all better uses of money than getting a new preamp or a new outboard gear or a new plugin. Most professionals still use new plugins, new preamps, or higher level stuff. But I want to be very clear with this. This is very dangerous, poor people thinking. If you think that you need to buy nicer things in order to make more money, you have been lied to by every marketer in the planet. Okay, as a marketer myself, even I am susceptible to this type of like manipulation. You do not, absolutely do not need to pay to get paid. You can figure out, okay, literally, I've done many episodes before on doing free work and the importance of doing free work, especially if you're just starting. If you're just starting or you just moved to a new area, you know how much free work I'm doing since I've moved to LA? Doing a lot. Granted, I'm doing free work for higher level individuals and not just like local people, but I'm still doing a lot of free work and I will always do free work. I love doing free work every once in a while. I mean, don't take me up on and start hitting me up and ask me for free work. That's not how you get it. That's entitlement, and I will never give anyone entitled free work. You know, but for reals though, it is. If you are trying to run a business, if you are trying to have a job, if you are eventually trying to make money, pay rent, or if you're already there and are struggling to make more, stop spending money. I don't know what better way to it is. If your dream is to buy a home, why the heck are you spending money on gear that you could be spending, saving for a down payment on your home? Absolutely. Like it doesn't make sense. If that's your goal, then focus on that. But I'm not condemning anybody that does that. I'm not condemning anybody that does that. I mean, you just got to know where it is. For some people, some few freaks, right? The more money that you, the debt that you have, the higher rent you have to pay, forces people into a corner and makes them work harder, right? Like once you're put into a corner, it makes them work harder. On the opposite hand, I've seen this. This is more common. People that are staying with family that have very low rent or have very little responsibility tend to not be driven because there's nothing pushing them. There's no debt. There's no rent. And having debt and having rent is not good. You want to lower the rent because it's expenses, right? But there's a balance here. If you're floating, then stop, take responsibility and sacrifice. And that's what's going to make you a career. And that's what's going to make you a stronger person, more pleasant to be around, more magnetic, is someone that knows how to control, self-control, that knows to self-sacrifice, to serve others, right? That is important. I think the number one best idea, instead of spending $1,000 on gear, is spending $1,000 on taking people out to lunch. I do this constantly. I don't spend $1,000 a month, but I definitely spend a couple to a few thousand, few hundred dollars a month, not a few thousand, a few hundred dollars a month taking people out to lunch. Lunch is less expensive. You don't have to go anywhere expensive, but just reaching out to people and listening, ask questions, be interested in them. I posted this on Twitter, and I think that there's a lot of different ways that you can take this and you can relate to this. We all struggle with this, especially if you're creative. We all struggle with this. We are not, this story called life, it's not about us. It's about humankind. And if you're some kid from the suburbs of the United States of America, this story is definitely not about you. So if you have trauma, which nobody is free from, everybody has trauma. Maybe it just comes in different forms. Everybody has trauma. Don't even pretend like your life is harder than somebody else's. Don't even try to make excuses, right? Because someone else has a better excuse than you. And then what happens if they come along? Is your excuse now invalid? Are you not entitled? Oh, you got to figure it out. Everybody gets older and starts to figure out that these excuses that we make, the problems that we have, the trauma that we go through, eventually, although valid, and I'm not trying to belittle or lower any sort of trauma anybody has, absolutely, on all degrees, whether it's small or extremely important and totally changes your life, whatever. But the point is, why are the, like, I feel like if you have trauma, if you're disabled in one way or another, what are the most inspirational stories in, like, the Olympics? It's the ones that, the guy that doesn't have a leg. You know, my son has Down syndrome. It's the Down syndrome guy that was able to make it to Special Olympics and do something awesome. We're always inspired by the kid with Down syndrome that it has no ego and is full of love, right? Absolutely no excuses. Absolutely no excuses. And the problem with this, though, and I'm going on a different topic. I'm sorry. This is a different topic. We'll go back to the original topic. The problem with excuses and trauma and disabilities or whatever it is that you are absolutely entitled to them. Absolutely. Yes. I'm going to do the major ones. I hope that this doesn't cause a stir. Yes, there is real sexism in this world, and it's a problem. Yes, there is real racism in this world, and it's a problem. Yes, there's definitely economical divide. And yes, sometimes it may feel like everything is working against you. Okay, but this is why this is important. You are entitled to these problems. You are entitled to make excuses, and most people will. Most people will. In fact, if you stop making excuses and you start taking responsibility for your life, right? And trying to build what you want and what you know you deserve, a career in whatever you want to do, which doesn't happen if you don't realize this, right? Is you must take response, like, oh, I can't stress this enough. Like, this is, I'm having a hard time wording this correctly because I know some people are going to take this the wrong way and say, oh, but I have ADHD and I'm autistic, and both of those things that I'm not super heavy on the autistic scale. I'm definitely high functioning, but I'm a little autistic. I have ADHD, crazy bad. What does that have to do with anything? I'm an indigenous people and I tan really well in the sun. What does that have to do with anything? I was born really harshly Christian, like raised really Christian. I was Mormon growing up. Granted, I still am Christian, but there's a lot of trauma from being extremely Christian, right? There's other problems that I don't have that you may have. But the point is, if you don't figure out a way to get over it and work around it, then you are going to be the one that ends up stopping yourself. Okay, if you want a career in this, the music industry is way too small, way too crowded, and way too unwelcoming for someone that all they can do is make excuses. For someone that is a mean and entitled to make it. There's not enough space. There's not enough space in this world, in the music industry especially. You got to work 80 hours a week for free, never expecting a dime. And like, not necessarily you have to do that, but that kind of level of thinking and giving. The people that are, the higher up I go in the music career, the higher up I go, the more I realize how much being a giver is important, how much understanding, being kind, networking is important. And going back to the money thing with gear, who you are as a person is going to get you further in your career than how well you can mix a song. Guarantee. There's Riyadh, who's in one of my previous episodes. He said off the podcast, one of my favorite quotes that I still talk about to this day is the person before the product. I don't care if you're a dope songwriter, a dope artist. If you're an artist and you're just spamming people without creating any sort of genuine relationship, that ain't it. That is not it. That is basic marketing 101 badness. It's not good, right? That's how you get everybody to hate you. That's eventually going to become a PR problem, all right? What you got to do is make genuine relationships. If you're an artist, especially if you're an artist, you have to get, your job is to get as many people around you wanting to see you win. That is your job. So for any artist right now or producer right now that says, oh, I got so many haters because everybody's jealous of me. I can make this empire on my own. That's some bullshit. You need to take some responsibility. That's not how you make it. Nobody makes it. And anybody that ever says that after being big is actually being rude because it took so many people to get them there. Pride comes in when money comes in, right? It can. And it's there's only a few people that really do that. Only a few. Majority of people that are successful are absolutely the kindest people ever. What is the first thing that people always say when they meet a celebrity? When it's like, oh, that one of the first things they almost always say if they were caught them in a good mood and if they were all right, if they're not too busy, is, oh my gosh, they were just so humble. They were just so humble. They're only humble because you think that they're entitled to not be. They're entitled to be prideful because of their status, right? They're actually just normal human beings that are just kind as crap. That's how they got there. You can't climb without being kind. Absolutely. Ooh, that's a good quote. You can't climb without being kind. You just can't. And that will take you so much further than what plugins you use, what gear you use, all that jazz. More secrets about making it as a career versus a hobby, right? And I think I've said this before, but I want to be extra clear about it. Having it as a hobby, an enthusiast, is absolutely honorable in every sense of the word. That's fine. But this podcast episode is not necessarily for you because I'm talking to people trying to build a career right now. Stop worrying about gear. Stop being a consumer. I had a conversation. No. He's been a guest. I've interviewed a few times now on the podcast in the past. Jesse Ray Ernster, who won, congratulations, Jesse. He won 2 Grammys this last Grammy season, this last year. One for having recorded a track on Kanye West's album, Sunday Service, right? Jesus is King. And then the second one is he mixed Burna Boy's album, and you got a Grammy for that. So congrats to you, Jesse. But he on Instagram posted that he was selling his Pro Tools HD interface, right? A couple $1,000 interface, pretty standard in the pro world, supporting a software HD, which is a few $1,000s. All Pro Tools Ultimate or whatever the heck is called. He was selling it online, and I messaged him, and I said, yo, just out of curiosity, what are you trading it in for? What are you going for now? And he blew my mind. And this is what's important. And I think that him doing this is going to change the culture, as it so should. This is 500 IQ, 160 IQ move right here. He said, oh, I don't know yet. I've just been going out of the optical out of my Mac. That's right. He's using the built-in converter in his computer that everybody has, consumer grade, right? and using that to monitor and mix. Kind of makes me laugh, for sure. And obviously it's doing him well. I ask why, and he says it's just much more efficient. Much more efficient. Way less problems. No problems, no issues, no latency. I mean, ADAT is really reliable. What the heck? You know what I'm saying? He's the only Grammy-winning engineer that I know that has gone that far into, and he's the one that started has been pushing the no desk craze. How like the reflections bounce off of the desk. And so he's been mixing without a desk. No desk. He puts like a little keyboard and touch surface on his lap, in the chair, in a perfect listening position. His computer monitor is on the floor facing up, in an extremely well-treated room that he's built out the last little bit and has had lots of help with. Like, it's incredible. Maybe that converter that's built in isn't the thing that's helping him win Grammys. Maybe it's not the room, although I think that has a lot to do with it. If you can't hear your room, it's trying to look through foggy glasses. If your room is not acoustically treated, then you can't see very well. Even if it's there to protect and help your vision, if it's foggy, then it's kind of lost its purpose, right? I think the thing that helps him win is that his mind is in the right place. Focus on being a good person, and he's one of the nicest people ever. I mean, just watch his Dave Pensado interview on Pensado's Place. He's just so kind, incredibly intelligent, very kind, very courteous, gives compliments out the wazoo, and I could go on about the importance of words of affirmation, giving compliments to people. And he knows what's important. It's not the gear. Obviously, the speakers and the acoustics are very important because he needs to hear. He needs to have glasses, right? We all need to wear glasses. But he used to have a lot of gear, and he used to have a desk, and it was aesthetically looking nice. But him saying that made me think a lot this week, and kind of alongside some of the DMs that I've been getting and the questions that I've been getting, I thought this was a very important episode. Six Figure Home Studio, one of my favorite podcasts ever. They're about to restart and do Six Figure Creative, to expand a little bit more. But they said a trip to IKEA will make you more money than a trip to Guitar Center. The aesthetics do matter, especially for clients if they're coming in now. And yeah, I just have so many. I'm going off the walls. I was talking about plugins. I was talking about money and expenses versus income, saving money. I'm talking about a lot of this stuff. And I'm being a little bit scatterbrained because I'm also thinking out loud. I'm also in your shoes. I'm trying to figure this out. I think I've done a decent job at figuring it out. I think I have a lot more to figure out. I think I have a lot more to learn. And I have a lot more mistakes to make. But the one thing that has rung true that I think has really helped my career, and this is the one secret that I really want to share with y'all. And this is not something that you choose to do. This is something that you work into. This becomes part of your personality. We've all met that person that can't compliment anybody. No matter what you show them and how proud of it you are, they just seem to have critiques for it. This person might be a parent, might be a friend, might be a sibling. It might be your ego. It might be an internet troll. It might be someone who's really bitter that you accidentally burned a few years back and you didn't even know about it. Whatever and whoever that is. I want to be clear that I, in hindsight, one of the biggest things and talents and abilities and personality traits that I have that I'm proud of is the ability to truly, wholeheartedly believe in people. Free work only works if you truly believe in the artist that you're doing it for. Because if you're going to half-ass free work, then they're just going to have a bad image of you. It wasn't worth it. Whoever you work with, whatever you work with, choose to be enthusiastic and believe in it. Because at the end of the day, more so than ever, if you're a mixer or a producer, it is your job to make it sound good. So if you say, I can't make this sound good, to a certain degree, it's your fault. To a certain degree, it is. Now, it's less your fault if you're a mastering engineer or a mixing engineer. But if you're a producer where it's your job to be part of the creative process, I definitely think it is. And it's also, but it's not your job to like everyone. Kind of pick and choose. You know, you have some ability. You don't have to give free work to whoever comes by, right? If we're talking about free work. You pick and choose who you give free work to. You go to them. Eventually, they come to you and you could say no. I've said no many times. I've passed on much work to my interns for people that don't have the budgets or that I wasn't really feeling. And that's fine. It's in the artist's best interest for me to not work at them if it's not something I believe in either. But the talent that I'm talking about is my ability to, it's very hard-pressed. It's very difficult for me to not believe in you as an artist, as an engineer, as a producer, as a person. It's very difficult for me not to believe in you. And that talent, that ability, that characteristic, that personality trait of being able to believe and have faith in people has been the thing that has made me the most money and has influenced my career. Absolutely. I have been burned from it many times. But if I go back and complain every time that I started complaining about getting burned, which I was entitled to, it halted my career. It really did. Being burned is inevitable. Just know that the people who do the burning typically don't advance. They may seem to advance in the short term, but in the long term, they lose. There's so many more things that I want to say. But I hope that you can kind of feel what I'm feeling. I'm trying to get a little bit emotional here because I'm speaking emotionally because this is very important. And the more that I teach this stuff and the more that I mentor people and help people and see other people's hindsight, see other people's experiences, hear of other experiences, see them in person or through story. These are some real truths that continue to harden and become more and more true as time passes by. Continue to prove to be true. Be kind. Have faith and love in who you work with. Stop spending money. Focus on earning money. Focus on what matters. Be grateful, be humble, sacrifice, as we must all do. We must all sacrifice at some point. Take responsibility and don't let yourself off the hook. Enjoy the work. And don't focus on what you can't control, the results. Those are some of the major secrets to building a career. Now, if you're an enthusiast or a hobbyist, throw all that stuff out the door. Just get as much cool gear as you possibly can. Honestly, like that's what it comes down to. Then really start focusing in on like what gear is the best gear, whatever. Oh, yeah, yeah. And yeah, for real. I'm sorry. I'm like just thinking right now. But by the way, this is the first time I've ever actually publicly stated that I'm a little bit autistic. I just realized that I didn't know until a couple years ago. So, and I'm sure that as you listen to the podcast, and if you meet me in person, there's going to be moments in time where I kind of glitch in the matrix and just like have a hard time being human. But even then, I didn't know most of my life. I thought it was normal. And I've struggled with all my problems, whatever that is. But here we are. Here we are. So on that note, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
Are you tired of using Google Drive or Dropbox to send files to clients? Well, never get burned again with FilePass. I love and use FilePass exclusively for sending files to my clients. It's a cloud file sharing website specifically made by engineers for engineers. It's absolutely amazing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/FilePass to check out the full feature list and subscribe today. Never lose another dime to burned projects. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.